Kumlem about Gemara, such Chedesh Kislev Topshin Pei Aleph, where Masechta Edvin, Dav Kuf Amid Aleph. We're on the top of the page, talking about a tree, the branches come down, and they span a large area, but and the less than three tefachim from the ground. You can call that mechitzes, and as long as it's less than two saw, you can carry beneath the tree. If it's wider than two saw, we say that it's considered like a karf if it's not really surrounding a dwelling place, because mainly for a guard observing or monitoring the activities in the field. So we're up to three lines to the top of the page. It says here the Sharoshav. The Mishnah said that if the roots of the tree are above the ground by three tefachim, you shouldn't sit them because you're sitting on the tree. If it's less than three tefachim, it's considered as if you're sitting on the ground itself. Says the Gemara, Sharosh of Gvoim in Oret, it will be learned, Shor She'ilam, those roots of a tree, Haboyin Milmaila Mishloishal Atashloisha. What happens if you have a root that rises above three tefachim and then it comes back down again? So when it is risen above three tefachim, that section of the root is forbidden to be sat on because it's considered part of the tree. And then it comes back down. Do we say that the part that came back down came from a part that was forbidden to sit on, therefore you cannot sit on the part, even though it's within three tefachim of the ground? Or do we say, no, the section that's within three tefachim is permitted? Rabba says mutter, because you look at that little section, and that section is permitted. Mutlish Tamid Ben, you're allowed to use it. And Ravshesh Tamid Ben. Ravshesh says, you're not allowed. And the Gemara explains it. Abba, Mutlish Tamid Ben, the Chopachim, the Gimel, the Arahu. It's kind of part of the ground. Ravshesh Lemon Osse. You cannot sit on that part of the root. Why? Lish Tamid Ben, Kivan de Mekoyach Issa Kaossi. It's coming from a section of the root that was above three Tvachim, which you're not allowed to sit on. And this just extends out from that. Therefore, Asurin, it is forbidden as well. Says the Gemara, what about a case? The dummy, if it's similar, kimushunisa, if it's similar to like a stone that is on a slope, that what happens? You have a root that goes up, and out of the root, as it's going up, you have roots that come outwards, and you have like smaller roots that protrude outwards, and they're bent down to the ground. So the question is, there's a picture here on the side of the Gemara. The dummy kimishanisa, if it's similar to that kind of a stone, is the salkin le'ela asurin, the part of the root that goes upwards, obviously is osa. Obenachtin le'tatoi shari, the part of the root that the chatchila never went up, it came out from the bottom section of the root and was below three tefachim, then don't talk about it. It is permitted. What about Litzdodin, the part that came from the root that was above three tefachim, but then it came down within three tefachim? That is the machlekes pluktu the Rabba and Rav Sheshes. That exactly is the machlekes between Rabba and Rav Sheshes. What about Elon, a tree, v'chein anigra? Anigra is when you have, let's say, a ridge in the ground, a little ditch in the ground, there's a tree growing inside that ditch, and part of the tree is like growing into the wall of that ditch. If you're standing on the ground, you see part of the tree, you know that's level with the ground. But if you're looking at focusing on the ridge, you know it's above the ridge. And therefore, so the question is, how do we view that? You look at the way it's level on the ground, or do we view it that its base is the ridge, and therefore it's above three tefachim? So this says over here, is according to Rabba, who says that as long as it's within three tefachim, it's all right, so that's part of the ground. According to Rav Sheshes, you have to calculate from the base in the bottom of the ridge, and therefore it started out higher than three, even though now it ends up being leveled to the ground, it's no good because it came from Issa. Chen likewise, Bekeren Zov, is if a tree growing in a corner, two walls there, and the tree grows right into the corner, and you have like three sides of the tree growing into the wall itself. And you have one side that's exposed outside. And all you see is the part that's growing outside. And it goes above the wall. But let's say the root is within three tefachim, or it grows, or a branch, whatever it is, that's within three tefachim of that wall. According to Rabba, if it's less than three tefachim from the wall, it's not a tree, it's considered the ground. And according to Rav Sheshes, he always measured it from the ground. And since it came from Iser, even though right now it's within, it's right next to the top of the wall, it is Aser. Ahu Dikla, the Gemara says, there's once a palm tree, the Havel Abaya. Abaya had a palm tree that was growing inside his house, and it went out through the skylight. He had a tree in the middle of his house, a palm tree. Also, the Kamed Rabbi Yosef, and he went before Rabbi Yosef. Now, when it went above the skylight, if you're standing on the roof, it's within three tefachim of the roof. So he went to Rabbi Yosef, Shalai, he permitted him. He permitted him, why? Because when he's standing on the roof, you see less than three tefachim. You know, when your teacher permitted it, because he holds like Rabba Sharlach, he holds like Rabba. That what? And you look at it, you know, you don't care where it comes from, you look at where it's right now, and right now it's within three tefachim of the roof. Therefore, it's permitted, says the Gemara. Because if you look from where it comes from, obviously it came from the house. It's much higher than three tefachim. Says the Gemara, pshita, obvious. Who else could it be? It can't be Rabsheshes. Anyone know? I would have thought it was Rabsheshes. I would have thought we had a law that says before basic command them all of them. We treat a house as if it's full, it's full, and therefore it's as if the tree part is completely covered, and. Someone you should be able to use the section on top of the roof, which is within three tefachim. Kamash Lona, we don't say that when it comes to disrespect. Tanah, we learned. It says in our Mishnah, Sherosh of Gavoyim in Oregim Tefachim, the roots are above three tefachim, lo yeshiv aleim, we shouldn't sit to them. Hey, Chidame, what's our Mishnah exactly talking about? If it does not come back down within three tefachim, it's actually raised above the ground three tefachim, and that's where it is. In Pshita, isn't that obvious? You know, I sit on a tree. El alav, isn't it? Avagav the hard to keep the chiddush mission is that even though it risen above three tefachim, even though it went back down like a U shape and came down under three tefachim, and nevertheless you shouldn't sit on it. Doesn't that prove Rosh Hashanah is right? No, lo elam lo hard to keep it. Does not come back down. I was a chiddush. Welcome Ashlam. Afagav the tzidai echod shovel oretz. Imagine that one side of the tree, the ground is elevated. So most sides of the tree, this is above three tefachim. But on one side of the tree, the ground elevates, and now it's level with the ground. So I would have thought that maybe Rabba's Moide, that since on three sides, this is three tefachim of the ground. Maybe Rabba's Moide is considered three tefachim of the ground, and I'll sit in it, Kamash Lon, that no. But since on this side it's level to the ground, it's good enough. Tell them what we learned. Shor She'ilon, the roots of a tree, She'gevayim in Ha'aretz Gimel Tefachim, the roots of a tree, if it rises above the ground by three tefachim, even though it's on one side it's low to the ground, that is elation, we don't sit there because it's sitting above the ground. And what's the reason? Fisher ain oilin be elon. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. And the ain nitla million allowed to hang from a tree on Shabbos. We're scared you're going to pull down branches, you're going to cut off different things. So you're not allowed to climb a tree. And not because it's a bother or a pain, as we'll see later in the Gemara, but rather because we're scared you're going to do an Isser by picking some fruits or by breaking branches. The ain nish olin be lean, not even lean on a tree. The loyali be lean, you shouldn't climb a tree on Friday. The yeshish kolayim kolayim, sit there the entire Shabbos. Because even sitting on the tree is forbidden as well. Because you're using the tree. And we're saying right now, you're not allowed to use a tree at all. Echad ilan, whether it's an animal, a tree. Echad kol behema, whether it's sitting on an animal. You're not allowed to sit on an animal either on Shabbos, because you might then break branches to hit the animal or something. Avol boid v'sia chomayla, we have different kinds of pits. Whether there's water there, there isn't water there, or gedder or a fence. If you have a fence, a tall fence, metapis v'oilem, metapis v'yedah. There's nothing wrong with climbing up a fence on Shabbos, or climbing down the fence of Shabbos, even though it's a pain, it's a big bother, and it doesn't matter. I feel hey may ama. Even the fence is 100 ama, you're climbing the barbed wire fence, it's 100 ama, it doesn't bother us. The problem of a tree is not that the bother, the problem is we're scared you're going to do this and nicer by pulling off branches or picking fruits and that kind of stuff. That's what we're worried about. Says in Gemara, we have a steer between two branches. Tani chod, in one place we learned, im ola, if you climb the tree, mutilated, come down. The Tanu Chod, another place, learned, oscillated, if you climb the tree, fa'faun, too bad, you must stay there all the time. What's going on here? Like Kasha, come to if you climb there on Friday, did nothing wrong, and then suddenly became Shabbos, then come down. Come, Mishach, if you went there when it's already Shabbos, we're going to penalize you, but you shouldn't have climbed the tree in the first place. I have to stay up there. That's one way of understanding. But he said another way, is how about both happen Shabbos? Like Kasha, come, Mishach, you did it by mistake, you didn't realize you're not allowed to, then you're permitted to come down. And remember, coming, you know, staying on the tree is a problem because you're sitting on a tree, using a tree, and coming down the tree is a problem because you're coming down, you might pull off branches. So we're telling you, we don't want to penalize you. It's a question of penalty now, because either way, you're doing an Avera. So we're going to penalize you if you did something wrong. So if you did a B'shegig, we're not going to penalize you. You did it deliberately, we're going to say, stay up there the rest of Shabbos. Iba yisem b'hova b'shegig, even by mistake. And the argument is, b'kontzu shegig otomation. If you did something inadvertently, they would penalize you, because next time you do it on purpose. Mar sova kansina, we penalize you, you're stuck on the tree. Mar sova le kansina, we don't penalize you. In fact, Kitanoi, we have a dilemma here. Should you remain on the tree, it's a problem. Should you come down the tree, it's a problem. Only difference is, remaining on the tree, you're passive. You're there already, you're not doing anything, you're just staying there, even though you're doing something wrong. Climbing down the tree, you actively go doing something wrong. You're not allowed to climb up or down a tree. On the other hand, once you climb down the tree, you know, it's over and done with. So the question is, what's better to do, the passive or the active? And we'll find there's an argument between Yeshua and Abliyaz, a similar situation. We already learned this, we'll learn this in Sefer HaShonah, Hanitonin b'matona achas. There are certain korbanos animals that when you sprinkle the blood, you only sprinkle on one corner, like a karm chattas. You only sprinkle once. Shenis arvu, a b'chor. The blood of a b'chor, you sprinkle only once. Shenis arvu got mixed up with other firstborn. Benitna matona achas, then no problem. You know, matona achas, you don't know which animal it is, you just sprinkle once, because whichever animal it is, it's still the right way of sprinkling the blood on the mizbeach, on one corner, on one of the sides. Matan, what about matan dalad, matan dalad? According to Rashi, we're talking about a karmel chattas. You're supposed to sprinkle on four sides. And you got mixed up with another karmel chattas to sprinkle on four sides. That's how Rashi takes this, agrees totally. We'll soon see. Is again, you know, matan, no issue. Just sprinkle on all four sides of mizbeach. What about matan dalad be matan achas? According to Rashi, a b'chor got mixed up with we got mixed up with a chattas, and now one of them has to be sprinkled four corners, one. What do you do? Or according to Tesis, it cannot be talking about karma chattas, because karma chattas you spray above the line, the red line that goes around the middle, and the b'chor you spray below the line. So it can't be. But Rashi is not concerned with that, because Rashi holds the mitzvah say by chattas to sprinkle on all four sides, pushes away the loisase of sprinkling, you know, above the line when you're supposed to sprinkle below the line. Tosafos says, no, I don't believe in this case we say esed doicha loisase, because when do we say esed doicha loisase? That's how you're supposed to do it. You have no choice. Here, it's your fault. Who asked you to let the two kabbanos get mixed up together? So we're not going to apply the rule of esed doicha loisase when it's your fault. So what do you do? Go be proactive and sprinkle the floor, because we'll say that even though you're doing Baal Tesef, because if it's a b'chor, you're supposed to spray once, you spray four, you're adding to a mitzvah, that's an avera. The asay by a karma chattas to sprinkle four overrides the loisus of Baal Tesef. And Rabbi Shua says, no, you nostum matan achas, do the reduced one, sprinkle only one, even though you're even avera Baal Tigori, you're supposed to spray four, you only sprayed one. And even though b'diev, if you did, that's all right, but that's not the way you're supposed to do lachat chila. But nevertheless, you're doing it in a passive way. And that's the better way to do it. Omer b'lazari, oivir about tishgara, reducing from four to one, you're oivir d'aveda, you're not allowed to diminish any of the mitzvahs. In parashas today, omer l'aveda yishiv, Rabbi Yeshua said, harayir about tishiv, but in your way, you're going to be doing about tishiv. Omer b'lazari, lo omru elok shuv atzvi. So Rabbi Lezer answered back, but it's only talking about when is oivir about tishiv. If you're doing it on its own, because it's mixed up with other carbon, and you're doing it for the sake of the other carbon, there's no real Baal Tesef. No, I'm never sure. In that case, same thing with me. You're not even about to gutter for spraying one. It's only if the chatz is on its own, you sprayed one instead of four. But here, it's mixed up with the b'chor. But only for the moment, when you do four, when you only meant to do one for the blood that you have mixed in there, that belongs to the b'chor, avarta Baal Tesef, you went ahead and you did Baal Tesef, in a proactive way. But if you follow my method, let's say you're supposed to do four for the blood that was in there, mixed in there from the karmel chattas, but you only did one, avarta Baal Segura, but how? But in a passive way, you just didn't do what you had to do. So therefore, Rabbi Lezer, who says that you're supposed to do it in an active way, Koma say, oh, it's better to do it in an active way, Hachinami, yate it, cut down the tree. Even though actively you go climbing down a tree, which means you're doing an Isra Rabbanon, it's still better, preferred, than remaining in the tree the rest of Shabbos. Over Rabbi Yeshua, Domer Hosa, Shavataisa, he says it's better to stay there and be passive, Hachinami, you don't come down. So the Gemara, no, you cannot link the two arguments together. Dimalohi, at kana kamla hosam, no, what else says the kul, I say, or the oven mitzah. Over there, by adding four sprays, you're doing a mitzah, tlif for karma chattas. I will hochid la oven, you're not doing a mitzah, hochinam la yated. He's saying over here, when you're climbing down the tree, you're not doing any mitzvah going down the tree. What you're doing is, you're preventing from doing an avera sitting on the tree the entire Shabbos. So it's not actively doing a positive mitzvah. Interesting, because the Gemara Kedushin says that if Yoshev la'avar avera, that if you're sitting there, you don't do avera as if you did a mitzvah. And here we're saying that it's still not the same thing as doing a mitzvah. By karma chatzas, when you're spraying four, you're definitely doing a mitzvah, spraying four times. Here, by going down the tree, so if you're not sitting on the tree, filling the words of Chachamim is not the same thing as actively doing a mitzvah. And maybe only in a case where there's a positive mitzvah does he say, you know, follow the positive mitzvah even though you're being proactive. So what if you say it's better to do nothing, let's say, and just spray one, not four times, el only where? The Leiko Avid Yisuda. You're not doing an Avera by spraying one time. You just didn't do the full mitzvah. You didn't obey, you just didn't do the full mitzvah. over here, by sitting on a tree, every second you're sitting on a tree, you're using a tree. You're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. The Kovei Yisuda, maybe it would hold also that you have to come down, so you can't prove one way or another. We have another two braises. Tani Chod, one braise we learned, Echod Ilan Lach. Whether, when we say don't sit on a tree, don't climb on a tree, whether the tree is moist, so it has fruits and there's, you know, it's alive, of Echod Ilan Yavish, whether the tree is dry, there's no moisture anymore, and therefore it's as if it's not really considered attached anymore, but makes no difference. It is always forbidden. That's one brayse. But Tanya Ida Medram Rambalachon is moist. Avad beYavish. But if it's, let's say, a dry tree, Mutzah forbidden. It's forbidden. It's no longer any moisture there. It's forbidden. It's not in the Iser of Kaitzer of cutting things down. Omer of Yudas Yudas. So Lachayde, which brayse is right? What's going on here? Like Kasha. Kan b'shegize machliv. Here is talking about where the tree can sort of replenish itself. Then it's considered. The first braisa is talking about a yavish, which is not really yavish, it's still moist, that it can replenish itself, so therefore it's alive. And if you pull down, cut the fruits or twigs, you are over the iser of koitzer. Kan, the other braisa that says you're allowed to sit on a tree which is totally dry, but she'en gizeh machliv, and that does not regenerate itself. Freg de gemore, gizeh machliv, if you're talking about a case where it still can able to regenerate itself, yavish koritzel, is that called a dry tree? It's not a dry tree at all. Less moisture, more moisture, but not a dry tree. So how do we reconcile these two braises? The kash can be moisa chama in the summer. All the trees look dry, so we cannot tell one tree from another. Then I don't want to, it's maris ayins. I don't want you to climb any tree. Can moisa shami, but in the winter you can tell which trees are alive, which trees are not alive. In the summer, a little bit wrong. In the summer, you're allowed to climb a dry tree because you can tell the difference between a dry tree and a proper tree. Because in a dry tree you'll have no branches, no leaves, nothing else, and the tree that's alive, you'll see some, you know, some fruits or other things. So in the summer it's clear, there's no marasayin, so you're allowed to climb a dry tree. When we say it is forbidden is in the winter time. In the winter time, all trees basically look pretty much the same, and therefore there's a case of marasayin over here. That's one answer. Says the Gemara, be moisa chama, but in the summer, even while you're allowing to climb a dry tree, there's still some remnants left from leaves or something from the previous year. Hakonasi peta, you're cutting down some of the leftover fruits that are left over from last year. So we answer with a bit of leka peta, a tree that is bare, no fruits on it. But konasi kinse, but there's still some leftover of the twigs that you're pulling down. Says, it's totally bad. There's no branches left. There's nothing left. Just a trunk. It's not so. So you're telling me that if the tree, no fruits and no nothing left, and it's dry, and in the summer you're allowed to climb it. It's not so. But Rav ikla la'afastaya. Rav was came to the town of Afastaya. But osa bigduda, and he saw that kind of a tree, and he said that's forbidden. Says the Gemara, Rav is different. Why is Rav different? He has a chulin, we'll have it a chulin. Bika, we had it before also. Bika matzah, he found an open field, v'goda bagedi, he made a fence. And Rashi explains, the people, and this is an important principle, if the people in the city are not b'nei Torah, they're amaratzim, and they don't understand the nuances, and therefore, if you're going to allow this kind of a tree, they don't understand then why this tree, yeah, and that tree, no, then you have to ban all trees. So he says, it's like an open field to them. There's nobody guarding it. Everything is open. Everything is wide open. So therefore, he had to put a ban on everything. And this is a general rule That we had sometimes a Talmud Chacham permitted, but only inside his home, because people won't understand what he's doing, and they'll think that other things permitted as well. They'll draw inferences which are not correct. Says the Gemara, now we'll continue and give some tips on life. A person is not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos, because we have a pasuk where it says, somebody runs with their feet, they're a sin. How do you sin? By if you're walking on grass, you're pulling grass out. That's what it initially wants to say. But the pasuk says, gam b'lo das, that even without knowledge, nefesh l'toiv, not a good soul, and he runs with his feet. So Gemara is going to learn from the other things. Tanu Chad, in one place, he learned, first let's talk about the grass. Mutu Lelech Agabes, in one place, he's allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. V'tani learned elsewhere, also, you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Lekash, ha-be-lachim, if the grass is wet, then you're not allowed to because you're pulling the grass out from the ground. And ha-be-yaveshim, but here if it's dry, then even though it might still be attached to the ground, it's dead. So it's as if it's not attached anymore. There's no more koitzer. Here it's talking about if it's in the summertime. Here it's talking about if it's in the summertime, so therefore it's not a problem. Because that's talking about that you're not allowed to. It's just because the grass is still moist, and therefore you might pull it out. But here in the wintertime, and Rashi explains that in the summer there's seeds in the grass. We're not worried about the grass itself. We're about seeds in the grass. And the seeds in the grass, then you're cutting the seeds away, and that's called teilish. But in the winter there's no seeds in the grass, and therefore there's no real teilish here. Another answer is everything in the summer kasha. Here is talking about a case where your shoes are complete, so they're not going to pull anything out of the ground. Therefore, it's permitted. Or you're wearing shoes. And Hodulay Saima sign. Here's a guy who's not wearing really shoes. And if he's not wearing shoes, he'll rip grass out. Or another answer is he both said, Hobot Saima said, both kids, you're wearing shoes. Lakash Hodi Islay Ukti. Here is talking about that at the end you have pointy things at the end of your shoes, so that pulls grass out. Hodulay, you don't have anything pointy, you're not pulling grass out. Ibai say Mahabad is like, so both kids you have pointy things. Hodi Islay Sharka. Here is talking about these long pieces of grass. And therefore, if it's a long piece of grass, you get caught up in these pointy parts of your shoe, and you're pulling them out. Unless the shach is no long grass, you're not pulling anything out. But Gemara concludes, Ha'idna today, the kaima lakar Rab Shimon, today that we follow the Rab Shimon that says that a melocha she'im tzirch gufa or dover she'im miskav, you have no intention, is permitted. Kula shari. As long as it's not 100% inevitable, it's not a particular issue, you're permitted, and that's the halacha. So Gemara clearly says over here, the halacha is like Rab Shimon, because the Rambam paskins, okay, by dover she'im miskavin, we all agree that Halach Reb Shimon that the Dover Shem is Kavan is Mutter, and therefore you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Second matter of Amar Rav Chama, now that we brought down this pasuk where it says if you're rushing with your feet you're a sinner, and the beginning of the pasuk says b'beloi das, without knowledge, nefesh lo tov, not behaving properly, so we are therefore going to learn other things from here. Like for example, Amar Rav Chama, Amar Rav Osir lo Adam she yakov ish to the Ramitzi, you're not allowed to force your wife to have marital relations with you. Shemar it says v'ot b'raglayim chait, if you rush with your feet you are a sinner. Amar Shemar leyo kalak kaif ish to the Ramitzi, anybody forces his wife to have relations, havenly bonim she'enim agon, the kids, the product of that union, will not be proper. Or you go back into my krosa, what's a pasuk? Gamba loydas, if without her consent, nefesh loytoy, what kind of soul you produce? Not a very good soul. Tanya, what we learn, gamba loydas. Also, without knowledge, nefesh loytoy, what do you mean? That the children won't be good. That means that koivish is ramitz, if you force her without her consent, and therefore the children that will be produced won't be good. And v'otz b'raglayim choyte, what do you mean if you rush with your feet? You're a sinner, is a haboyel v'shoyne, that you had relations and then you have a second time. So you're mutching her, you're knowing her. So it's not so we learned for kared, we learned differently, we learned before, v'omar, didn't we learn, rav ha'roitz l'asko bon ha'zuchorim, if you want to make sure that you're, children are male, or that then yivoil v'yishana. It's a good zgula to do twice. Like kosher, kan le das. If she's willing, for sure. But if she's not willing, then no. Any woman that has the courage to ask her husband to have relations, have a bonim, will have wonderful children. Shafilu b'doyde shol moisha lo hayu kameisim. That even the times of Moshe, We want anybody equal to them. What do you mean? How can that be? Deal with Deirish from Moshe, but the generation Moshe, they were looking for judges. Ksiv, Havlochem Anoshim Chachamim, Levinim, Vidush Lechishav. People are wise, smart. Vidush Lechishav, known to their tribes. Ksiv, it says, Ve'ekach es Rosh Shivtechem, and I will take Anoshim Chachamim. I'll take people who are smart, Vidushim, and known to their people. Vilu Levinim LaAshkach. It doesn't say anything about Levinim, but people who understand. Why? Because the Levinim are very difficult to find. It's by Leah. We find by Leah, and she was very verbal that she wanted to have relations with Yaakov. She says, "Vatei tizlo krosi." But Toime, she said, "Elai tova." She said, "Kuli said, come to me." Yisachar chaticha, I bought you for those daffodils. See what it says. Uvenei Yisachar, and the children that she produced from Yisachar, yedei bina liitim. The das mayasas, they are what? They're bina, they're nevinim. So we see the what? That you can raise children that even the times of Moshe Rabbeinu didn't exist. Yisrael Roshayim, what do you call it? I'll make them leaders. And everybody's going to follow them. So you're telling me it's a good thing for a woman to openly discuss this with her husband and to ask him, there were 10 curses issued to Chava, Chava on account of Eitzah Das. It says, Elisha Amar, and to the woman you should say, Harba, says the woman you say, Harba Arba, it's funny, you can have a lot of pain. And we're dashing each word of the pasuk, a different curse. Harba arba is two multiplies. Elu shnei tipi damim. She'll have two sources of blood. Achaz dam nida, which are painful, and achaz dam sulim. One is being menstruating. One is when she's a virgin, breaking her virginity. And then the pasuk gets vaynich that you'll be in pains at tzar gidol banim, having raising children, and the woman feels it more than the husband. What is it? It's interesting that Tzar Gidol Banim is more by the woman than by the husband. Then says the pasuk, and that's when you're pregnant. Zetzar Iber. That's the pain of carrying the child. Better tell the banim, and with sadness you'll give children kamashmoy. Literally, pain that comes with giving birth. Well, Isha, Trukasa, you'll desire your husband. What's the punishment there? Melamed, She Isha, Mr. Kekes, Al Baila, B'Shayyot HaDerech, that she has desires for her husband, especially when he travels. And yet, she can't do anything about it. Who Yim Shabach, and he controls her. In what way he controls her? Because he can lead when it comes to marriage relations, and she is too embarrassed to say anything. Melamed, She Isha, Tevaz, Belev, Ish, Tevay, Bepeh. That a woman is too embarrassed, she won't say anything, but a man is doesn't have that kind of shame, and therefore be vocal. And it says there, Zuhi Mida Tov Anoshim. And in fact, this is a very nice attribute of women, that they're much more discreet and much more tzniyazdik. And yet you're saying it's a curse. And you're saying it's a good thing for a woman to be outspoken, like Leah, says the Gemara. No, you misunderstood. Ki kamrin de matzayar tzuyi kamei. When we're saying it's a good thing, and that you get a bracha, that I'm talking about that she entices her husband. She doesn't say anything verbally, but she makes it well known and presents herself in a way that the husband should be interested in her. And that's a big mitzvah. And she will be zeichet to have wonderful children. Says the Gemara, Hani Sheva, you just added up 7 curses, and we heard there were 10. It says, and Rabbi Yitzchok said, there were 10 curses, but we just found 7. So we're going to ask 3 more. 3 more. Atufa ka'ovel, she has to wear a sheitel or a head covering. Interesting, in Rashi says she's embarrassed to walk around with the head uncovered. Umenude mikol adam, she is, in a way, separated from all people. We'll soon see what that means, except her own husband. And we'll see the Gemara concludes it means that she cannot marry 2 men, but a man can marry 2 women. And chavusha beis asur, in a way she's in jail. When she's in jail, so Rashi says, because a woman called kavuda bas melech pnima, like a princess, is more at home than outside, and therefore a woman is more at home than outside. But even though it's for a good thing, in a way it's like a prison. So the Gemara explains, what do you mean she's separate from all people? Elaim mushund asala yichud, because she cannot be alone with men. Even ami asala yichud, a man also is not to be alone with other women. Eldasil beitre, she cannot marry 2 men, but a man can marry 2 women. The Masnitat on the Brisa we learned Megadelis Seyar Kililis, that she grows her hair, she has a lot of hair, like a demon called Lilis. And I guess she has to make her hair every day, and so that is like a curse. Interesting. that clearly Gemara here, that woman has to have long hair, not like those women that actually shave the hair. The Baba should have made a whole campaign that women should not shave the hair, even though there are many who do shave the hair. And the Rebbe used then a proof, the Torah says, what do you do with the Tifas Toyer, that woman that you captured during the war? The Torah wants you to discourage you from proceeding to want to marry her, so he says that you should shave her head. It says clearly that a shaving head is not a good thing. And here the Gemara says right here, that a woman has long hair like Lilis. The Yeshevis Umashtenis Mayin Kebehema, when she has to urinate, she has to sit and crouch and squat. And like and Manasseh's Kadla Baila, she's always underneath, so she's like the cushion for her husband. So how come they weren't included in the curses, says the Gemara? Because they're not curses, Vidach. Hani Shevechla, they're all like praises to her. That she sits there because that's Sneezdik, doesn't cost anything to Sneezdik, and being a cushion means that he has to do all the work. And regarding the hair, Rashi doesn't explain why it isn't a curse, but I guess if she takes care of her hair and makes it proper, or braids it like other people say, then it's actually very nice. So it depends. It takes a long time to make it, but if you make it, it's nice. It says in Pasik that Malfeinu, we actually can learn things out mebehemus aretz. We can learn certain qualities from the animals, how they behave, umo'if hashamayim, from the birds in the sky, yichak menu, makes us smart. So we explain. Malfeinu, what do you learn from animals, upreda, that is the mule, shekara, so much tennis mayim, that it squats when it goes ahead and urinates, which is sneeze. So therefore, it's a good thing. Umo'if hashamayim, yichak menu, what do we learn from the birds, tanagol, a rooster, shemefayez, v'achaboyel. First, it appeases her mate before they have relations. We'll soon see how. If the Torah would not have told us all about sneeze, anyway, we'd learn sneeze from a cat. Because a cat is not like a dog that goes ahead and defecates in front of people, goes to a corner or something and it covers it. So we learned sneeze to be discreet from a cat. The gezel, we learned you shouldn't steal minamola from an ant. An ant, throughout the season that they collect all the food so they can hibernate. The aroyes, we learn aroyes from a dove. That a dove sticks only to its own mates. What do you mean you would learn out the ways of having relations with your spouse? From a rooster or a hen, what do you mean it appeases? How does the rooster appease the hen? The Gemara says, this is what the rooster, interesting, the Gemara is telling us, a discussion between the rooster and the hen. The rooster says to the hen, "Zavinulach ziga, I will buy for you a long cloak. The matilach akadach will cover you completely. I'll buy the most beautiful coat, and it's going to cover you head to toe." Okay, she gets all excited. Labosar hachi, after they have relations, Amalah, he turns around to her and he says to her, "Lishamte, you should cut off the kabalta to that beak, the hutanagela from that rooster who made promises that he couldn't keep. Because the east level, Zavinulach, you don't think if I had the money I wouldn't buy you that coat? Unfortunately, I can't afford it. So please don't be angry with me." So this is the conversations the rooster and the hen have. So in other words, he's being very nice to her. And even afterwards, doesn't just walk away. He's still very nice to her and he apologizes. So we learned from a hen and rooster. Amazing. The Gemara is telling us the conversation going on between the hen and the rooster and so on. So, figure out what shot that is. Okay, we'll stop over here.